reading is from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, which can be found on page 868 of the Pew Bibles. So that's Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling noise, sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. And therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you upon you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken, and I have done it, and I have done it," declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading this morning may be found on page 1093 of the Bibles in the pews, the Marvellous Acts of the Apostles, beginning at chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans, then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Has to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we're here with open Bibles before you. We pray you give us the gift of an open heart. And we pray into that open heart you would pour the gracious gift of your Holy Spirit to cause us to walk in your way, to see dry bones live, to see people know Christ, and to find hope again, even through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the greatest experiences in life is to sense that God is actually using you, and it's not kind of made up. You're not putting it on for a show. In other words, you fabricate some story as to how God's used you in order to gain acceptance by a particular group, and you come out with that fabricated story to gain acceptance by the group, how God's used me. But actually, you know in your heart, crumbs. I've just been used by the maker of the world. It's deeply humbling and very profound. And frankly, if you've never had that experience, you've not lived. I mean, we're made in the image of God. We're created by him to carry on his work. And so perhaps the thought, I can't get the chorus out of my mind, them bones, them dry bones. I don't know who sung it, but it's really annoying. Kind of goes round and round. It's like the image of the bus stuck there. You kind of think, "Oh, you, why didn't you practice that? Can these dry bones live?" God says to Ezekiel. I mean, any time God says anything to anyone, the person he says it to should listen. And if those who are listening in to what's being listened to, well, they get to listen as well, because this is God speaking. Can these dry bones live? Why are we looking at Ezekiel on Pentecost Sunday? Well, it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. These people aren't drunk. There was an awful lot of fuss and bother
as tongues of fire came upon them. There was a sound like a rushing wind, and the church was born. It grew. And whilst there are still questions about how Christianity is doing in this country with church attendance and so on, the mere fact that you have 12 people following Jesus Christ of Nazareth and you have a worldwide church today says something about the power of the Spirit. It hasn't, as it were, just happened. And it's the Spirit that helps the church grow. It's the Spirit that helps Christians grow. Maybe you sense you're stuck and you've not grown. The Spirit needs to be at work. And when Peter gets round to explaining this phenomena that's still going on today, he uses the prophet Joel to say, "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy." And so, as you have in the Old Testament, Ezekiel the prophet, and we'll be looking quite closely at his prophecy, page 868, if you wish to follow. Just as Ezekiel prophesied, so your sons and your daughters, we too will prophesy. I was quite moved looking out, as I often do, not at buses but at congregations. The number of people in church, the colour, the age profile, mainly young. I mean, actually, most of them have gone upstairs. But it's a wonderful family. It's a wonderful army of God's people. And if we all get this, that we're all prophets, and that we can all prophesy, as indeed we're meant to from the gift of the day of Pentecost, then those around us and our communities will genuinely be changed according to God's will and purpose. And so I'm not drunk, and it is 11:15, but I want to speak on the power of prophecy. And I am making the huge assumption that we are all prophets. The gift of Pentecost, the gift of the Spirit, enables Christian people, sons and daughters of God, to prophesy, to be bearers of the word of God to others, that the Spirit indeed might inhabit them. So three M's. Here we go. First two are quite brief, a little bit longer on the last. First of all, the making of a prophet. Secondly, the maturity of a prophet. And then thirdly, the message of a prophet. Really just headings to help us reflect on this very powerful passage of Ezekiel chapter 37 as he sees a huge vision before him, a valley of dry bones. And as the Spirit moves upon this valley of dry bones, so before his eyes they live. Perhaps it's worth having in your mind areas of dryness in your own life, in the lives of those around you, at home, at work or at leisure, or those you sense on your TV screens that you're emboldened to pray for. They weren't just dry bones. Notice verse 2, they were very dry. They were frankly dead. The making of the prophet. Well, the fascinating phrase there in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezekiel was a prophet. And we too can be used by God. The Spirit's given to each person who's a believer. In God's hands, we can be used. Look back, if you will, at Ezekiel chapter 2, because you'll see there another phrase used for Ezekiel and his call. Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me again. At Ezekiel's call, one of Ezekiel's particular literary devices, or the way he brings his message across, is, like most preachers or prophets, to repeat things. And what was repeated to him frequently in his call is, you're going to go and speak to a rebellious and stubborn people. And then again, if you look back over into Ezekiel chapter 8, you'll see something remarkable happening again to him. In the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day, while I was sitting in my house and the elders of Judah were sitting before me, the hand of the sovereign Lord came upon me there. What's consistent in the making of this prophet is that the hand of the Lord was upon him. The hand of the Lord was upon him to speak to people who didn't want to know, who didn't want to hear, who wanted nothing to do with him and his message. And Ezekiel was called by God's Spirit to speak to them. Not an easy job. But the hand of the Lord was upon him. The making of a prophet. If you read Ezekiel's letter, and it is worth doing at some point, you'll find many peculiar things seem to happen to him. For 5 years, he's even laid on his bed, ill. He's asked to do some quite bizarre things. But most of the time, he's speaking to a people that don't want to listen. But he's conscious that the hand of the Lord was upon him. There is no experience that God has given you in life that he cannot use. Maybe you've sensed you've gotten nowhere. Maybe you've sensed you've tried and it hasn't worked. If the hand of the Lord is upon you, he can still use you. This is Ezekiel's story. He's being asked to go and speak to people, and he says, but they're not going to listen. They're rebellious and they're stubborn. But still the hand of the Lord was upon him. The making of a prophet. Sometimes God will lead you into difficult situations. Perhaps it's the only way you'll be enabled to speak to a certain individual or group of people because of what you've been through. I'm not to judge or to say. I simply ask the question, do you sense the hand of God upon you? You're not being arrogant. You're not being virtuous. You're not being paranoid. You're not someone that needs to be locked away. God's hand is upon me. It's a right question to ask yourself of the experiences of life you've been through. Have you sensed God's used you? Have you seen something dry under the Spirit of God come to life? The making of a prophet. Sometimes we'll be put in hard and difficult situations, and it will be because of that that God can use us. Secondly, and very briefly, the maturity of the prophet. Notice verse 3. God is speaking. He asked me, son of man, this is the question I started, can these bones live? Notice his maturity in response. And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Sometimes Jesus spoke to his disciples and they didn't know what to say. They even got it completely wrong. They were making a joke of it. Sometimes Old Testament prophets even argue back. Ezekiel's got a maturity. He puts the ball back in God's court and says, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." But there's a conversation going on, isn't there? There's something in Ezekiel's mind's eye at the moment that's dry, that's not working, that's dead. And there is a conversation going on with them and the Lord. And there's a very mature response. "So, Sovereign Lord, you alone know." How are you in your prayers with the Lord? Are there situations that you're praying about? Are you flippant? Are you childish? Or are you determined and mature in your conversation with the Lord to see these things through and to wait on his reply? And here, thirdly, is where it starts to get exciting. Verse 4, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" And so, thirdly, the message of the prophet. As soon as Ezekiel does what he's asked to do, namely to prophesy or to speak to the dry bones, he starts to see them come alive. He doesn't see them come alive first time. He's asked to actually prophesy again, and then finally they start to spring to life. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that he was a priest, and most priests would have been trained in, frankly, deboning animals, getting them ready for sacrifice. So he would know what it would mean to chop up a lamb or two, take the meat from its bone, get it ready for the altar for sacrifice. And now he's watching the reverse take place. He's watching the flesh come back on the bones. He's starting to watch the bones live. Do you remember in the Bible there was another time where the Spirit blew? The Spirit blew over creation and life was formed. And then the Spirit blew again and life was formed in humankind. Notice there's a difference between humankind and animals. The first time the Spirit moves, the human world is made. The second time the Spirit comes, the human race is breathed into and life comes. And so we have a sense in which the Spirit comes and gives life to humanity. He comes again and makes us alive in Christ. Remember, I said in Ezekiel, it's often the case that he has one particular phrase that he repeats time and time again. The call in Ezekiel 2 is for a people that are rebellious, who just don't want to listen. Time and time again, they're disobedient, they disregard, they rebel. In this particular chapter, it's the breath, it's the wind, it's the Spirit that comes. Time and time again, 10 times in this passage alone, the Spirit is mentioned. Do you remember another son of man? In this particular passage, God says, "Son of man, prophesy to these bones." Do you remember another son of man who prophesied, who breathed the Spirit? So Jesus Christ himself breathes the Spirit upon us. As the word is given, so the Spirit starts to bring life. Can I take you back to Ezekiel's call again? For what Ezekiel sees happening before his very eyes happened to him while he was called. Ezekiel chapter 2, I'll read the verses to you if you'd rather not turn them up. Son of man, stand upon your feet and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me. Notice the order. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me. The same thing happens here. As Ezekiel is asked to prophesy, and as he speaks, the Spirit comes into the dry bones. Can these dry bones live? Can something that's dead come to life again in Christ? Yes, through God's people who are prophets, through the sons and daughters of God. In these last days, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The Spirit will come upon you. Jesus breathes his Spirit upon us. And as we hold out and give the word of God to others, so the Spirit will come into those dry places and cause life to come. You can see the situation there in verse 11. This particular passage was written to God's people who are in exile. Verse 11, then he said to me, Son of man, these bones, what you see before you, they're the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, and we're cut off. So prophesy to them. And then before his eyes, as he starts to speak, the word of God goes out. So the Spirit of God comes and gives life. God's people were in exile then. Who are the people? Where are the situations where you're conscious of dryness, of exile, of people who are cut off, where their hope has gone? The gift of the Spirit is given to us that we might be channels to other people. And when you find that's true in your own life, you will sense God using you. These are the days of Ezekiel. What a wonderful, buoyant song to sing. I wonder, whatever you've been thinking about, what are your dry bones in your home, in your community, in your network of relationships, where you would long and you'd love for the prophecy of God's word to come, that the Spirit would give life? We need to pray that God will use us to bring life to those people. Let's do that now, shall we? Father, please forgive us for being such poor channels of your blessing to others. We thank you for this prophecy of Ezekiel. Help us to be agents of your word to others, that the Spirit indeed might bring life to them. We pray for those areas and situations we've been thinking of, and pray that your Spirit would come. And in your mercy, please use and empower us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.